Do you want a life filled with strong relationships, personal influence, and deep meaning? Who doesn't? And according to Jesus, you can have that kind of life. But here's the catch. You've got to live without hypocrisy. So how do you do that? How do you live a life of winsome authenticity? Well, that's the subject we're going to talk about today.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip continues his series, Stop Faking It, by sharing that living a life free of hypocrisy is key to living a life full of blessing. Now, after the teaching, Chip will be with us to talk further about how this works, so be sure to stay with us for that. Well, now let's join Chip for the message from Ephesians chapter 5, How to Overcome Hypocrisy in Your Heart.
We all think we've got to be something else, portray something different than who we really are, so that people will love us and accept us and make us significant. We all hate hypocrisy. We hate it when we see it in other people. We despise it when we see it in the church. And we actually hate it when we see it in us. Now, it would be nice if hypocrisy was like a virus or like bacteria. And you could go to the doctor and say, I got a bad case of hypocrisy. And he could write a prescription and say, here you go, take care of it. 3 pills, like penicillin, you're done. But hypocrisy is a lot more complex than that. It has to do with your heart and your mind and your attitudes and your relationship with God and relationship with people. But there is a doctor who can solve the hypocrisy issue. If you'll go ahead and pull out your teaching notes, I'd like to give you Jesus' personal prescription for dealing with hypocrisy in your life and in mine. And as you look at that, he's going to give us 3 clear things. You know, a doctor says, you know, take a couple aspirin, go to bed, call me in the morning. Seems like they always tell you 3 things to do. Jesus is going to give you and give me 3 specific things to do to deal with the hypocrisy that every single person deals with in your life. Number 1, he says, begin within. Picking up in Luke 6:39, he told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into the pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? Then here's our word. You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus says, you want to deal with hypocrisy? Begin within. Start with yourself. Refuse to compare yourself with other people. Refuse to evaluate what's wrong with other people. See, what we all do, I know I have hypocrisy, but I find 5 or 6 other people that have it a little bit worse than me, and I look at all the stuff they need to change. And Jesus says that's a bad prescription. Begin within. Well, where within do you begin? He goes on. He says, start with the heart. Verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Okay. Each tree is recognized or known by its fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. I mean, that's just kind of common sense. We all get that. Here's the application. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Principle. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus said, if you want to deal with hypocrisy, don't focus on externals. Don't try and just clean up this or that. Or don't try and just appear a little bit differently. Start with your heart. Just like what the sap is in a tree. If it's a cherry tree and inside the cherries, it will produce cherries. Whatever is in your heart will end up being produced in your speech, in your attitudes, and in your behavior. So Jesus says, if you want to change, if you want your words and your actions to align, to be integrated, to deal with hypocrisy, first, begin with you. Second, start with your heart. And then he gives a little motivation. He says, weigh the consequences. Picking it up in verse 46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. What's the problem here? Why do you talk, call me Lord, Lord, but you don't walk, do what I say? What do we call it when people say one thing but live a different way? Hypocrisy. Now, notice the spirit in which he's going to say the next line. This is not a God with his arms crossed and finger pointing. He's going to give some motivation. He's going to say, let me show you the value of living a life of consistency. Look at the very next line. He says, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who has dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck and the house could not be shaken because it was well built. So there's a consistent life, there's an authentic life, and there's tremendous benefits when difficulty and pressure and financial loss and relational breakdown and world events occur to a person who is walking authentically with God. He says there's stability. So he says, begin within, start with your heart, weigh the consequences, hear the great reward of living an authentic life. And then just so we get the flip side, then notice what he ends with. Then he goes on to say, verse 49, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice, this is like a man who built his house on a ground without foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Do you hear what he's saying? You come to Jesus and you say, in my heart of hearts, I hate hypocrisy. I don't like it in the church. I don't like it in the job. I don't like it in me. Jesus, will you give me a hand? Will you help me eliminate hypocrisy in my life? And Jesus would say, absolutely. Tell you what, three things to do. One, begin within. Two, start with your heart. And three, weigh the consequences. Get motivated by the great reward of authenticity and be motivated by the huge price tag of hypocrisy. So what's the $64,000 question? If he says, start with your heart, and something has to happen in you first, the $64,000 question is, how do you deal with hypocrisy in your heart? How does it work where God changes you from the inside out? If you'll turn the page, let's look at that together. And that's basically the topic of our time this morning. How to overcome hypocrisy in your heart. And the answer you're going to find is in Ephesians 5, verses 17 and 18. Just so you get the flavor and the context, let's pick it up and follow along together, beginning in verse 15. He says, but be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity because the days are evil. Here's our passage. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he gives us the Lord's will. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. There's a negative command. Don't be drunk with wine because it produces this lifestyle. Positive command. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then it will produce some things. Notice the evidences when you're filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And when your life corresponds with the Spirit of God winsomely, lovingly, righteously, compassionately, and with holiness, when you live it out like that, you become the instrument of God that gives an invitation to people that are living in chaos and hurt and pain that Christ is the answer. And so what's at stake here? The context is that how in the world do you live that kind of life where you honestly mimic God and you walk in love as children of light? The answer to how is verses 17 and 18. And the answer is this command to be filled with the Spirit. So pull out a pen if you would. Going to put you to work here a little bit. We'll do Bible study together. Let's do some research in this passage and find out what's it mean to be filled with the Spirit. There's a command here. The meaning of filling literally means to be controlled by. When we think of being filled with something, we tend to think of like a pitcher of water or a cup of water, and we pour it in, and as it comes up to the top, we say the cup is filled. That's not the picture that you want in your mind. The idea of this Greek word has the idea of saturation. And saturation to a point that the idea is the substance is so saturated, it's controlled by what's in it. That's why he gave the negative expression. What happens when a person is drunk? When they put a substance in their body, wine or liquor or beer or alcohol, and it gets into their blood system, what does it do? It alters everything, doesn't it? So the alcohol gets in your system. There's an external force that gets inside of you. And when it gets inside of you, it changes how you think. It changes how you speak. That's why they ask you to say a few words. It changes your physiology, whether you can walk or not. It changes your emotions. I've seen people who are the shyest people, and you get four or five shots in them, and whoa, they are the life of the party. I've seen other people that are really outgoing, and after they've drunk for two or three or 4 hours, they just sit like a stupor, like this in the back. Do you now understand what he's trying to get to? Just as wine goes into the body and impacts every aspect of your thinking, your speech, your emotions, your attitudes, and even your physiology, in the same way, allow God's Spirit to so saturate and be in control of your heart and your mind that it will affect your speech, your attitudes, your emotions, and your relationships. Here's the picture I want to give you. To be filled with the Spirit is a lot like, let's pretend you're the sponge, okay? And as a sponge, to be filled with the Spirit is to be so submerged in the influence of God's Spirit, which is holy. God's Spirit that produces what? Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, right? Self-control. When you are filled with the Spirit, if someone pushes in on you, this filling turns out to, what's the controlling factor in the sponge? It's what's the sponge is saturated with. And instead of the flesh influencing your thinking, your behavior, your body actions, the Spirit is in control, and you can extend forgiveness. You can have a flare of anger, but not sin. When you find yourself walking into a business meeting and someone takes part of your territory and takes your idea and presents it as his own, and you're filled with the Spirit, you can exhibit patience and kindness and goodness and appropriately go back and deal with that issue instead of blow up in that meeting. What are you doing over here? You see, when you are filled with the Spirit, it influences. In fact, let's look beyond. It's in the plural form. This is not for superstars. By the plural form, it's really you all be filled with the Spirit. It's for all believers. Every believer is commanded by God to have the Spirit control you 24/7. Every moment of every day, it is God's will for His Spirit to fill you or be in control of your life. Third, notice, it's in what's called the passive voice. And what that means grammatically, it's something that happens to you. Literally, it's allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit. This isn't about trying hard and pulling up your bootstraps and I'm going to try real hard to be a good person. No, no. This is allowing the Spirit of God access and control. You know more. This sponge can no more get wet on its own, but it cooperates as I put it into the water. Your responsibility is to allow God to saturate your life with His control in your heart and in your mind. And then finally, notice it's in the present tense. It means, yes, start and continue to be filled with the Spirit every moment of every day. I remember studying this really intensely, and I was into it, and I was going to teach on this, and I was excited about sharing it, and I got up and had this great time with God. You know, I want to be filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to get to teach on this real soon, and I want to learn about it, and I had a good time of prayer and good time reading the Bible, and I find myself just walking out to the car because I'm going to take Ryan over to the church. He had some sort of music practice, and I'm singing and making melody in my heart. You ever have one of those days you're just filled with joy, and man, you know, God is good, and life is good, and I mean, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm aware I'm filled with the Spirit, and I realize I'm allowing this to happen. I'm cooperating with the Spirit's work in my life. And there's joy and there's peace. And so I'm sitting in the car and I have to be at the church as well. And after about 90 seconds when he was supposed to be out there, and then after about a minute or two, or then three, and I can feel kind of the spirit leaving me. Ryan, I told you, you knew when you had to get up, you know, what to do, and I'm just kind of, I'm sitting there in the car, and you know, like if you squeeze on the steering wheel, it makes it do something. And so finally he comes running out, and he's late, so that means I'm going to be late. And not only is he late, but he's got this big glass of milk, and he's got like two pieces of bread and jelly all over it. You know, oh, hi, hey, Papa, how you doing? He's really upbeat. What's he upbeat about? He's late, I'm going to be late. Hey, how's it going? And I can just feel the anger coming up. And then as he says, oh, Dad, I hope you don't mind, and then he tilts the bread and the jelly goes on my car. That jelly took the spirit right out of my heart. And so I start, and there's a battle here, and so I'm thinking, you know, son, you knew, you know, I started out calm. You knew what time we were supposed to leave. Yeah, Dad, sorry. You know, a little milk goes on my car. And then I'm thinking, I'm going to be late. How many times has this happened? By the time we pull in the church parking lot, he has had lecture number 573 on discipline and what it means and why you're not on time and you need to be prepared and you need to set alarm early and on and on and on. I mean, you know, yeah. The kind when kids go, oh, Dad, shut it off. I was in my A game. And I pull in, and then I had that little flicker of the Spirit that said, Chip, I'm grieved. See, the Spirit is not a force. The Spirit is a person. It's the manifestation of both the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus actually dwelling in you. And the Spirit of God said, I'm grieved. My feelings have been hurt. That's not how I treat my children. That's not how I want parents to treat their children. You're acting out of anger, and the anger of man does not fulfill the righteousness of God. And now I'm convicted and I'm mad at this kid and I realize I'm not the 9:05, I'm filled with the Spirit. 9:15, I'm filled with the Ingram. And we pulled in the parking lot and I just had to back away and say, son, you were late and a lot of what I said was true and how I said it was completely wrong. I didn't talk about the issue. I attacked you. We started with a little bit of jelly and we got into the character and your entire future with God. And I want to ask you as your dad, will you forgive me? And just before you go to band practice, could we pray for a second together? And we did. And then he got out and did what kids do when parents own their stuff and the prompting of the Spirit. Love you, Dad. See you later. And he's fine. And I'm sitting in the car. And what I want you to understand is that the filling of the Spirit is a continuous moment-by-moment ministry. You can be filled with the Spirit at 9:05, and you can be not filled or controlled by the Spirit at 9:15. So how do you know? How do you know when you are filled with the Spirit? Is this just some sort of subjective, well, when I feel the Spirit, I'm moving. Actually, he's going to tell us exactly how you can know. Four evidences of being filled with the Spirit. First, your speech will reveal it. You got that pen out? Circle the word speak. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Jesus said, out of the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. When the words coming out of your mouth are positive, uplifting, encouraging, and filled with truth, the Spirit is in control. When the words that are coming out of your mouth are critical and negative and condescending and painful to others, the flesh is in control. You can know when you're filled with the Spirit. But it goes beyond your speech. It goes to your private thoughts. Notice that next, sing, make melody, that little phrase, in your heart to the Lord. When you are filled with the Spirit, there will be a sense of oneness with God. You will unconsciously find yourself singing. Anybody awakened early in the morning and literally had either a hymn or a chorus going through your mind? That's the evidence of the Spirit of God operating and working. Anybody been driving in the car and you're just unaware of it and you're just thinking and kind of praying and talking with God and thinking about the day and then you just find yourself either singing to yourself, you know what that is? That's the Spirit of God. When your private thoughts are honoring to God, when they are righteous, when they're God-centered, and when they are loving, the Spirit of God is in control. You are filled. When your private thoughts, have you ever been at a stoplight? And you know what? I'm a master at this. I can do it like a really beat up car and someone who looks very unusual. Have you ever looked over and just started making thoughts like, I'll tell you, that person ought to get a job. You know what? The whole problem in this country, and you start down there, or you look to the right and there's a really, really nice car. And someone's dressed really immaculately. And then you start making judgmental, critical. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Boy, that's a good way to spend your money. You know, right? As though you are this perfect person. You ever find yourself in a meeting looking around and evaluating how people are dressed, what they're saying, what their motives are, where they're coming from and why, and being critical, 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 critical? When you are doing that, you are filled with the flesh. The spirit is not in control. Your private thoughts will reveal whether the spirit is controlling you or not. The third is your attitudes. Notice that little phrase. It says, giving thanks to God when? For everything. Giving thanks to God in the midst of chaos in the Middle East. For that issue? No. But in a sense that God is in control. Giving thanks to God when you have a difficult health issue. Giving thanks to God when relationships are difficult. Giving thanks to God when one of your kids is really going through a tough time. Giving thanks to God when you are single and you're desperately wanting to be married. Giving thanks to God that even though you don't have a job, you have a roof over your head and you have enough to eat. When you are authentically giving thanks, your attitude toward God, it means the Spirit's in control because you're recognizing His sovereignty and His power and His faithfulness, and you're living under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You cannot give thanks authentically unless you know who God is and He's ruling your life. And so what happens is you can know when you're filled with the Spirit. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Begin to evaluate where your private thoughts are. And then look at your attitudes. And then finally, notice the last one is your relationships. Final little word to circle is the word submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, what's submission? Submission doesn't mean you go along with someone because you already agree. Submission is there's a specific situation and you don't want to do it. But out of reverence and obedience to Christ, you choose to give up your rights and you yield to love the other person. This happens a lot of times in marriages where, you know, a husband has a great idea and this is what we want to do and boy, it's going to be great. And the wife's thinking to herself, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We've been down this road, but it's not a moral issue. It's not a big financial issue. And then on the outside, she smiles and she has a real sense of the presence of God. And she says, you know, I'm going to submit to this. I'm going to go along and I'm going to do this deal. I don't want to do this, but I love him. This is the picture of a husband whose wife turns to him and says, in the middle of Sunday afternoon when there's actually a very good ball game on, I mean, it's really a big one, they're all big ones, but this is a really big one, and she says, honey, do you think we could just take a walk? And then you do the good question, like for what? Just talk. Well, you know, like about what? Well, nothing in particular. And the man does this in his mind. Now, let's see. I'm going to give up a great ball game, not a good ball game, to take a walk, to talk about nothing. When the Spirit of God is operating, he says to himself, does that make any sense to me? No. Would that be an act that would communicate love to my wife? I will choose to submit my will to hers out of reverence for Christ. I want you to know you can know in a New York minute when the Spirit of God has you saturated and in control by the speech that comes out, by the private thoughts that you have, by what happens in terms of your attitudes, and by your relationships.
Chip will be right back to talk more about his teaching today. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, How to Overcome Hypocrisy in Your Heart, is from his four-part series, Stop Faking It. It's true, no one likes a hypocrite. None of us aspires to become a hypocrite, but we all know there are certain levels of hypocrisy we tend to allow in our lives. So is it really possible to live without hypocrisy? Absolutely. In this series, Stop Faking It, you'll learn the biblical principles for building a life of integrity and how to overcome hypocrisy in both your personal and public life. Not only that, but you'll be strengthened with some effective ways to keep from falling back into hypocritical patterns. For a limited time, the CDs of Stop Faking It are available at a significant on-air discount price. And the MP3s can be ordered free of charge. For complete ordering details, call us here at 1-888-888 888-333-6003. Or if you prefer to shop online, just visit our website, livingontheedge.org. And while you're there, check out the companion series we're discounting, Transformed, The Miracle of Life Change. Two great series, lots of discounts. Check it out today. Now, here's Chip.
One of the great joys of my life is the letters, emails, Facebook messages that I get from people literally all around the country and all around the world, and they tell me these amazing stories of how living on the edge has been a tool used by God to change their life. Maybe you're one of those people that have really been impacted by the ministry. I mean, I hear from people from every age, profession, background, every person imaginable. And what I hear is this same constant drumbeat of, God spoke to me. I took a step of faith. Now God's using me. And what I want you to know is that that's the heart of our ministry. We want to put teaching and tools and small group materials and downloadable things that we actually give away to help people not just live like Christians, but be ambassadors and agents of change and grace in their homes, their schools, and their workplaces. And if you're one of those people that God has impacted you and actually you're impacting others because of living on the edge, I have a very specific request. Would you consider becoming a monthly financial partner? And of course, it helps us practically, no doubt about it. It would really help us to know that X amount of dollars are coming in from a monthly partner. But literally, even more than that, it's about a group of people saying, we want to be a part of this mission to make a difference in the crazy world that we're living in. We want to make an impact, and we want to make an impact with you all. God's spoken to us. God's changed us. We want to help you help others. And so here's my request today. Would you pray and just simply say, Lord, if this is part of your desire for me to partner with Living on the Edge on a monthly basis, will you show me and then show me what that looks like and how much? And what I will say is whatever amount that is, it's perfect, whatever God shows you. But what I long to see is people who partner that are on the team, a part of the family, and we make a difference together each and every day. Thank you in advance for doing whatever God shows you to do.
If partnering with Living on the Edge is an idea that makes sense to you, we'd love to have you join us. Helping Christians live like Christians will change the world we live in. Now, to give a gift today, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Or if you prefer to give online, you can donate securely by going to livingontheedge.org. Your partnership is very encouraging to us. Well, now here's Chip with some final thoughts about today's message.
Today we learned that the key to overcoming hypocrisy in our heart is allowing the Holy Spirit to control our heart, to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled or controlled with the Spirit. And then we saw those four evidences today, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and finally, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. As we close today's program, let me ask you, how would you evaluate your own life? Are you filled with the Spirit? I mean, that's a big question, isn't it? It's the key to overcoming hypocrisy down deep in your thoughts and in your motives. Are you filled? Does the Spirit control you? I'm not asking, did you have an experience? I'm not asking if you have a certain feeling. Remember the four evidences, the litmus test of whether you're filled with the Spirit. Let me walk through them, and I want you to ask yourself before God, even as you listen right now, is this true of me? The first test, your speech. What comes out of your mouth? Positive or negative things? Second, your private thoughts. Is there a song in your heart? Is there an unconscious worship unto God? Third, your attitudes. Are you giving thanks for all things? Or do you find in your mind whining and complaining and bitterness? And finally, your relationships. Are you seeing yourself empowered by the Spirit of God to submit and yield your will out of love to others? That's the acid test of being filled with the Spirit. If down deep as you listen to my voice, you're thinking, you know something? I didn't do so well on this little pop quiz. I need help on learning how to be filled with the Spirit. Then you won't want to miss our next broadcast. We're going to talk very specifically about not only the what, but the specifics of how to be filled with the Spirit. I hope you'll be with us.
At Living on the Edge, we're happy to let you know about a new way to listen to our extended teaching podcast. Hear Chip anytime on Amazon's Alexa Echo and Echo Dot. Simply say, "Alexa, enable the Chip Ingram podcast." Once Alexa's enabled with that skill, all you need to say is, "Alexa, play the Chip Ingram podcast." You'll hear that day's extended teaching anytime you want. Well, be sure to join us again tomorrow as Chip continues his series, Stop Faking It. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.